Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles this evening to Proverbs chapter 4. And when we gather together in these joint services, we've had a variety of different things happen. I've spoken before. We've had Nick and Jason do a tag team. We had Bert and James give their testimony. So there's a variety of things that can happen. We had Billy Smith come and minister. So it's not always going to be the same thing, but God's always going to have a purpose for when we get together. And as we were reflecting over this evening and what God wanted to do, I felt very strongly that I had a word for tonight. And so this is it. I love you, Mackenzie. When you get older, I'm going to interrupt you. That's a promise. Proverbs chapter 4, and let's look at verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That word keep could also be translated to guard, and that's the title of my message to you tonight. Guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of your heart, are the issues of life. Now the word heart can either mean the physical pump that's beating inside our chest that keeps our physical body alive and gives us presence on this earth, or it can mean the center, the very core of our being, our spiritual and our soulish being, that being the heart. And this is that heart that is being spoken of here. That very center of our soulish and spiritual being. That part of you that from there emanates all of life. Everything that has to do with life on this earth emanates from the core of our spiritual and soulish being. Now, first of all, I want you to see that the heart, from Scripture, there's several different conditions that our heart can be in. And I'm just going to go through a list of these. Our heart can be condemned. Our heart can be glad, or angry, or willing, or prepared. The heart can either be deceitful or true. Believing or doubtful, single or divided, pure or perverse, wise or foolish, merry or grieving, obedient or rebellious, humble or proud, broken because you did not go God's way, or broken because you did not get your way. Convicted or impenitent, soft or hard, full of faith or fearful, determined to go your own way or determined to go God's way, established or discouraged, sound or erring, or faithful or whorish. Those are biblical terms to describe the condition of the human heart. The human heart can either be towards God or towards self and ultimately towards Satan. It is that which the issues of life proceed from, and it is that very core of our being that determines what we do, what we say, where we go, how we behave, where we see ourselves, where we stand. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35 says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. The things that you do begin in your heart. From your heart proceeds forth either good or evil, depending upon where your heart is connected. If your heart is connected to God, good things will come out of your life. If your heart is connected to the desires of the flesh and of self, and ultimately to Satan, then those evil things will proceed forth. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19 says, "For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." All of these evil things proceed out of your heart. If it comes out in your life, it's because it's in your heart. That is Scripture. These things, how did that happen? How did that word come out? Because it was in your heart. How did that attitude manifest itself? It was in your heart. When your heart is right with God, your life is right with God. When your heart is wrong with God, your life is wrong. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" That is the unregenerate heart. That is the heart that man has before he has an encounter with Almighty God and has been given a new heart. You know, there are indicators of your physical heart. You know, no one can see my heart. No one can see my physical pump. If you could, I would be in desperate trouble. Or you would have supernatural power. And since none of you are God and have supernatural powers in order to be able to see my physical pump inside my heart, you can say, well, you don't know whether I have a heart or not. It's not for you to know. Yes, it is for you to know. Even though you cannot see the physical heart, you can see that I have one. There are indicators that show that I have a physical heart. Let me just give you three. There's color in my cheeks. I feel kind of warm right now, so there's probably quite a bit of color in my cheeks. Take a look at your neighbors around you. You see anybody ashen white, no color in their cheeks? There's got to be at least a little bit there, otherwise we need to pray over them. And you know, another physical sign that we have a physical heart is that our body has movement. Are you moving? Raise your hand if you're moving. Okay. I can tell, correct me if I'm wrong, but I can tell you have a heart and it is in some sort of working order because you were able to raise your hand. There's movement. So you have a physical heart and it is at least doing something of what it ought to do. You know, and another reason, indicator is that we have a heartbeat. A heartbeat will tell you that you have a heart and will give you some sort of indication of what condition that heart is in. You cannot see my physical heart, but you can see color in my cheeks, you can see me moving, you can hear me speak, and if you come up and put your finger in a certain spot, you can feel the pulse that's pulsing through my veins. I have a physical heart. Now, just to be sure, because I don't want anybody here tonight that doesn't have one, turn to your neighbor and check for their pulse. Go ahead, do it. Now, you two, I'm not sure. Come on, check. Just as there are indicators to let people on the outside know who do not have supernatural powers and who cannot see inside to the human pumping and beating in our chest, just as though there are indicators to let the rest of us know that we do have a heart and we can see that there is a heart because of those indicators, the same is true concerning our spiritual heart or our soulish heart. There are things that manifest themselves on the outside that let us know that we have a heart on the inside, and it also lets us know the condition of that heart. Some people say, "Oh, brother, but God knows my heart. You don't know my heart." No, I don't fully, and I do not have the supernatural powers He has. I am not God, and neither are you. But we have been given the eyes and ears, and we have been given from the Word of God an assurance that we can know something of someone's heart. We may not know fully, but we may know something of their heart. In our heartbeat with our physical heart, we talked about a pulse. There's another method. They have electronic gear nowadays. Well, first of all, before the electronics, they have a stethoscope, and they can put a stethoscope against your skin and can hear your heartbeat. But there's also a heart monitor that they can hook you up to, and that heart monitor will display visually and audibly the fact that your heart is beating. Now, before we get into our soulish and our spiritual heart, let's take a look at the physical pump for a minute. Guys, take your positions. Now, I'm not a medical person. I'm not a someone. If we had a nurse or a doctor here today, I doubt if they would find anything wrong with what I'm saying. But if they did, then it doesn't alter the fact that what I'm going to say later is absolutely true. But when you hear the heartbeat through the stethoscope, or when you feel when you hear the heartbeat, or when the heart monitor picks up the beat that is there is the valves on the inside of the heart closing. After the blood that is measured out, that is pumped through the heart, the valve closes afterwards, and when the valve closes, it boom. Now the normal heartbeat has two valves closing. There is a boom, boom. Now we're going to demonstrate this, what the heart sounds like, the physical pump, by these two guys here, and they've worked very hard and very diligently and for a matter of about 20 seconds to develop this technique. So let's see what the heart sounds like. You got the rhythm? That's the rhythm of life right there. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. That actual has a technical term to it. It's called lub-dub. Lub-dub. The bump-bump is not actually bump-bump. It's lub-dub. 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 That is the sound of the human heart when it's operating correctly. And a doctor or a trained person, someone who has their senses exercised to discern good hearts from bad hearts, can listen to a heart and not only tell that you have one, but can tell what condition it's in because of the indications, the signs. On the heart monitor, it doesn't go lub-dub, lub-dub, lub-dub. The heart monitor takes that one beat, which is divided into two, and just makes a beep. Now, because I'm the one preaching tonight, and I can do this, when we're going to be talking about the beeps, the signs, the indication of our spiritual heart, and even though the monitor goes beep, 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 and each one of those beats is the lub-dub, lub-dub, lub-dub. I'm going to combine the two together again because I can do that. And our spiritual heart monitor is going to sound kind of like the combination between the actual heart and the heart monitor. So our spiritual heart is going to sound like beep, 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 beep. I just like it better, okay? And when you're preaching, you can make your heart sound any way you want it to, okay? So let's look at the three, there's more than this, but three indicators of our spiritual heart. The spiritual, beep, beep. And that's an indication that somebody's getting a phone call. All right, first of all, the first indicator of where your heart is, of what condition it's in, is your feet. Everybody stand up. Now look down at your feet. And here's what I'm going to tell you is a revelation that I hope all of you get. If you struggle with this, come see me later. We may need a little bit more help than what I can give you. But the direction your feet are pointing is where you're going to go. Or taking the average thereof. For those of you who walk duck-footed, you can be seated. The direction your feet are pointing is the direction your heart is pointing. Your feet are an indicator of your heart. Jeremiah chapter 13 verse 10 says, "This evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing." Walking after the imagination of your heart, your feet will take you where your heart wants you to go. You will go where your heart desires to go. How do you know the condition of your heart? Look at your feet. Where do they take you? That's going to drop in on somebody about 2 o'clock in this morning. You'll wake up and think, I got it. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 12. "And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart." People do what they want to do. You ever notice that? They do what they want to do. They put energy into what they love. What is in their heart, they walk towards. They put effort towards. If you like to hunt, Brother Jason, what do? You go hunting. You do what you love to do. The problem with people is sometimes they love the wrong thing. And your feet will give you away. Your feet will tell on you. Psalm chapter 82 verse 5 says, "They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course." Contrast that with Psalm chapter 86 and verse 11. "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." You have a choice. You can either walk in darkness or you can walk in light. You can walk after the darkness of your own heart. And why is your own heart dark? Because it hasn't got the light of God in it, if it is dark. And because it's dark, darkness proceeds out of it. You walk towards evil and you will perform evil. Or you walk towards God and you will do the will of God. You know, our feet are very important. And by the way, if you ever want an interesting 10 hours, look up the word walk in the scripture and look at every time it's mentioned and what God has to say about our walk. I like to say when I'm in a group of a bunch of Pentecostals and really excited charismatics, I like to say, you know, it doesn't matter how high you jump. What matters is how straight you walk once you hit the ground. Now, I'm into jumping. And I'm into shouting. We need a lot more of it around here. I'm into exuberant praise. I'm into that which is over the top and extravagant. But you know what? If we do that and we can't walk a straight line once we hit the ground, once we leave the doors on a Sunday morning, if we can't walk the walk, then something is wrong. And our walk has to do with our heart. I'm departing a little bit from my normal mode. I usually am a teacher, and I felt a preach coming on, and y'all just going to have to excuse me. Our feet are very important. Let me ask you something. Where do you stand? Your feet will determine where you stand. Where do you stand on issues? Where do you stand on the important issues of abortion? Where do you stand on the important issues of life? Where do you stand? Where do you stand on crime? Where do you stand on premarital sex, extramarital sex? Where do you stand on these things? Your feet are there. You're standing. It's a metaphor for what's really taking place. But it's true. And you have gotten there because you have moved there. You have walked. You're standing where you've walked to. Where you are now, you got here. Unless somebody wheeled you in, I think everybody walked. Your feet carried you here. Your feet are an indicator of your heart. Where you stand on issues is an indicator of your heart. Where are you heading? Where are you going? What's the purpose of your life? What is the goal in your life? Are you moving towards anything? Your heart will propel you towards things. What are you pursuing? What are you after? What would you really like to go get? Because I tell you what, you're pursuing that right now. What you really want, you're going after. I really want to take Susan somewhere. So what was I doing? I was putting money towards it. What you want, you will make allowances for, you will get up early for, you will stay late for, you will stay awake for, except for those who have problems, medical problems. But I'm telling you, what you really desire, what's in your heart, people will do all kinds of things for what's in their heart. They will pursue aggressively what's in their heart. You know what? If you're not pursuing God with all that you have, it's because it's not in your heart. So there's a heart issue that needs to be corrected. This is not a message of condemnation. It's a message of wake up. I'm not going to tell you something just to make you happy. I'm going to tell you the truth. Let me ask you something. What progress have you made over this last year? What spiritual progress have you made over this last year? And I know there's many of you in this room that have made great strides this last year. You have moved towards the will of God for your life because you have pursued it, because it's in your heart. And I dare say that there may be some that have gone nowhere because their heart has not propelled them. Their heart has not told their feet, I care enough about it, get moving in that direction. You know what? You'll be on time for things you really care about. But don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching good. You'll be on time for what you care about. You'll be early for what you care about. If you think that deal in Walmart is that good, you'll be early to get there. I don't care. People are knocking themselves out, knocking themselves silly to get there. I didn't care. I wasn't there. My heart wasn't in it. I was telling Kyle, I went to the Texas-Nebraska game the Big 12 championship. My brother bought tickets for it. At one time, that was such an exciting thing to go to something like that. Man, I would have been dreaming about it all week long. I would have been thinking about it. I would have been excited. Everything that we went through to get there, the bus ride there, the standing in line waiting to be patted down, getting into the building, the cold temperature outside being boiling hot inside, none of that would have mattered to me. But you know what? I went to that game because my brother invited me and I wanted to spend time with my brother. And I hated every minute of standing in line. My heart wasn't in it. And if you're doing something today and you're hating it, so your heart's not in it. And if it's a good thing to do and you're not doing it and you're hating doing it, your heart is wrong. I got excited about being here tonight. Why? Because I want to hear myself preach? No, because it excites me about what this represents. It's in my heart. You didn't have to beg me, you didn't have to pay me, you didn't have to cajole me. I wanted to be here. I would have gone, if the traffic was blocked, I would have found another way. If your heart's in it, your feet will walk that direction. In fact, you'll even run towards it. Another thing, and this could be a separate issue, but I've linked them together. What preparations are you making to fulfill the desires of your heart? Because when you love to hunt, you flick through the hunting magazines to find out how to do it the best you can. You flick through the catalogs of, and you daydream, boy, I'd love that rifle there. I'd love that bow. Oh, if I could have that arrow with that tip on it, I could care less about it because it's not in my heart. I can see right into that beaten chest over there. And there's nothing wrong with it unless it takes the place of something else. The point I'm making is, if you love it, you will spend time and you will prepare for it. If you love the body of Christ, if you love gathering together, you won't just show up here. You will prepare your heart for this because God has got something for me tonight. God is going to speak to me. My life is never going to be the same. I believe that. So I'm going to prepare my heart for it. And God may use me to do something miraculous in somebody else's life. Somebody, they may be on the edge of giving up. But when I put my arm on their shoulders and let them know, I love you, I'm glad you're here, it may be just the thing that keeps them going. It may be a word of Scripture God gives me that I can share. I want my heart to be prepared. I don't just show up. I'm here. I'm God. Pour into me and pour through me. Why? Because that's my heart. Preparations. Do you prepare yourself for the things of God? Are you making preparations now for anything in the kingdom of God? Are you thinking, you know what? I see I'd like to be farther down the road, and how can I get there? Who can I hook up with? What can I read? What can I listen to? What can I do to get to where I want to be? Now this is neat. Romans chapter 10 and verse 15 says, "How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them." Remember, we're talking about our feet. "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good news." Your feet will take you to your neighbors because it's in your heart. Your feet will take you to the guy at work that needs to hear because it's in your heart. But we're talking about preparation right now. Guess what you do to your feet? You put on shoes, don't you? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15, where it's talking about the armor of God, it talks about that our feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. A man who's going to go golfing, and he can afford fancy golf shoes, James, give it to him. Guess what he puts on before he walks out the door? Or after he gets there and he's ready to go golfing, he puts on his golf shoes. If you see somebody wearing golf shoes, they're probably going golfing. If you see somebody bowling shoes, they're probably going to what? If you see somebody wearing swim fins, what are they going to do? You prepare your feet. Preparation is extremely important. And I looked up that word in the Greek, the preparations of the gospel of peace. Preparation, guess what it means in the Greek? To prepare. Prepare yourself to be where God wants you to be. Prepare yourself for growth. Prepare yourself for ministry. Prepare yourself for service. Prepare yourself to give and to love. Look down at your feet. When you leave this building and you go through this week, every time you look down your feet, I want you to think, beep, beep. Beep, beep. That's an indicator of your heart. I'm preaching, use my beeps. He wants to go love dub on me. When you see me or someone else doing something that is questionable with their time, with their energy, with their direction, just look at them and say, beep, 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 beep. Because others see your heart. You cannot hide it. I guarantee you, if someone spends enough time with you, they will know what you love. It will come out. You will speak about what you love. And I'm getting ahead of myself. The second thing, indicator of your heart, is your words. Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 34. O generation of vipers, Jesus was so sweet. Not my Jesus. He would never do that. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Point number two, what is an indicator of your heart is what's coming out of your mouth. Because what comes out of your mouth is what you put in your heart in abundance. What is big in your heart will come out of your mouth. Again, I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with football. I don't think there's anything wrong with watching it. Take some time off. Enjoy relaxing. Have some popcorn. Make a hot dog. Do a whoop-de-doo. Whatever you want to do. But if that's all that comes out of your mouth, something is wrong. If you can't leave a service and think of something else to say, but I wonder how the Cowboys are doing, something's wrong. Either with the preaching or with your heart, one of the two. What do we talk about? What do we fill other people's ears with? What's important to us? A lot of times it's us. Brothers and sisters, nothing excites me more than to hear somebody say what God is doing in their life, what God is showing them. I love spending time with Brother John Keynes. We talk about other stuff. It's not all Bible. About 80% is. You know, and to be honest with you, okay, it's my fault. It's my fault. I know. But I run out of things to talk about very quickly. I am not a good conversationalist. I don't care enough about things to talk about things. But if you start telling me you got a problem, I'll spend hours talking with you about it. If you got a revelation, I'll spend hours talking with you about it. I want to talk about what God's doing. That's what excites me. It's in my heart. And what's in your heart in abundance is what's coming out of your mouth. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." Acts chapter 8, listen to this. Start in verse 17. "Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost." This was the new Christians, the new believers that hadn't received the Holy Ghost yet. "They laid their hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost." In verse 18, "And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost.' But Peter saith unto him, 'Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God.'" This is a man who does not have supernatural powers, but he can discern the indicators. He's not God. He cannot see his spiritual heart, but he can see those things which proceed forth from his heart. And unless everybody else is extremely thick, they're going to see it too. People see the indicators that your heart show. That's, you know, if any one of us did that today, we'd be judging people. We'd endure the wrath of all kinds of ecumenical folks. But there's a truth here. And the truth is, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. And Peter heard what he said, and from his mouth he discerned his heart. And he said, "Your heart is not right." He didn't say, "Your heart's not right in my sight." He had the boldness to say, "Your heart's not right in the sight of God." Look over at your neighbor. Just kind of wink at him and say, "Beep, beep." When you start hearing stuff coming out of your own mouth that is not proceeding from the life of God, say, "My goodness, God, change my heart." What we normally pray is, "God, shut my mouth." We need to shut our mouths, but don't leave it there. "God, change my heart." And lastly, the third indicator, like I said, there's others, but this is the third one we're going to talk about. And these are real big key ones. So we looked at our feet, the way our feet are pointing is an indicator of our heart and how we prepare them. We looked at the words that we speak and what comes out of our mouth. And what is in there in abundance and what comes out of it in abundance is an indicator of our heart. Lastly, pull out your wallet, your checkbook, your billfold. Go ahead. If you got it handy there, pull it out. Your bank statement. Take a look at it. Now pass it to your neighbor. No, I'm teasing. You know, if I were to look at your bank statement, I would find out an awful lot about what you care about. If you were to look at my bank statement, you would find an awful lot about what is important to me. Your money is an indicator of your heart. Where your money goes, what it's spent on, is an indicator of your heart. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12. Well, in fact, turn with me there. Luke chapter 12. Starting in verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. So we're talking about money here. Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for your body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barns, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, and they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God, who so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And seek not ye that which, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these. But rather seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, is your Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there your heart be also. Your heart, your treasure, and your heart are linked. What you store up, what you treasure, what you accumulate, what you value is an indicator of your heart. How you spend your money, what you spend it on, and what kingdom and eternal purposes are served by that blessing that God has given you says a lot about your heart. Verse 34 again. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And in verse 20 and verse 21 again. But God said unto him, that man who built the big barns and he just wanted to heap things upon himself, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? It's not just your pocketbook that tells where your heart is. It's the effort you put into building that pocketbook and what you do with it. Let me tell you something. Sometimes it is a blessing of God that overtime comes your way. And you have the choice to take it or not. Now, I know if you're in a job and you're forced to do it, this does not apply. But I'm talking about when overtime is offered. Sometimes it is a blessing of God. It is an answer to your prayer. Other times it is a distraction from the evil one. And you've got to know the wisdom of God when to say yes and when to say no. And if your life is consumed with getting money, something is wrong. And if your life is consumed with spending your money on other things that don't involve the kingdom of God and God's eternal purposes, something is wrong. It's an indicator of the heart. Now, in closing, two reasons for a heart that is not right in the sight of God. Number one, the heart is not right because it has never surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. If you're here tonight and your life has never been surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus, your heart is desperately wicked and it needs an overhaul. And doing things outwardly is not going to change your heart. Because it proceeds from your heart. And sooner or later, something is going to disrupt your life and that which is truly in is going to come out. You can write cheese on the outside of toothpaste and tape it on there, but when you put enough pressure on it, cheese is not going to come out. Toothpaste is. And I haven't tried it, but it does not sound good with crackers. Just trying to change the outside of your life without letting God deal with a real problem, and that is your heart, is not good enough. You cannot clean up your life. You cannot write cheese big enough. Toothpaste is still in there. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. For it's the heart, it's with the heart, Romans 10:10, that man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God wants to change your heart. If you don't know Him tonight, Jesus Christ wants to change your heart. There is a lot of talk about forgiveness, and forgiveness is part of the package, but we need to move beyond forgiveness and get to change. Change is what it's all about. It's not just being forgiven. You can be forgiven and not changed. God wants to change you. He wants to give you a new heart. And then secondly tonight, the second reason for a heart that is not right in the sight of God, and that's because the heart that has been made right, that has been changed, has not been guarded. Which brings us full circle to our text from Proverbs 4. Guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I want to ask you tonight, number one, do you know Jesus? Does He know you? Are you intimate with Him? Are you fellowshipping with Him? Have you received not only His forgiveness, but His change? The change that He brings to a heart? You cannot step out into that road and have a semi run into you and you not walk away from that different. You cannot have an encounter with Almighty God and come away from that encounter and not be different. God is a changing, a life-changing God. If you don't know Him tonight, if you're not known of Him, if you're not sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you're not sure that you have passed from death unto life, that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, I want to do what the Bible tells me to do, and that is to command you to repent. I'm not going to invite you anywhere. I'm going to command you to repent and believe on the only one who can change your heart. And secondly, tonight, if you're here and you have not guarded your heart, you've been involved in things, you know you're born again, but as a born again Christian, your focus has gotten off of where it ought to be and other things have entered into your heart that don't belong there, and you have not guarded your heart, God can purify that which you have allowed in. It can change. I remember as a born again Christian, but who was, and I know some people say you can't backslide as a Christian, but there are scriptures that talk about people not being right with God as Christians. And I was there. And when God got a hold of my attention, the most important thing to me was that my heart was changed and clean and purified. And I would drive from my house to work, and on the way there, I would sing over and over again, "Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever new." My heart had not been where it should have been. I didn't guard it. I wasn't actively pursuing the things that God wanted me to pursue. And other things came in. I'm just so thankful that it did not destroy my life and my marriage. But it brought problems in the lives of my children when I did that during that period. My heart was not guarded, and because of that, things came in. There may be some of you here tonight where you have not guarded your heart and you have allowed things to come in, and you would be ashamed to admit it, and your pride would keep you from admitting it. Your pride would make you think, "I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay." But in your heart of hearts, you know you have given place to things that don't belong. And the same way out is repentance. You know what repentance means? Your feet are pointing your way. Repentance really means to turn around. You cannot turn around. This is not repentance. That's glance. Repentance is turning around. It is your feet turning. Where your feet are pointing, that's where your heart is telling you to go. When you repent, your heart tells your feet, turn all the way around and start walking that way. I knew what the message was tonight. It's been on my heart for a long time. I don't know how to end it. I don't know what kind of ministry God wants to do. Brother John, would you come up? I need help, brother. I don't know if we just need a closing prayer. I don't know what we need. All I know is I gave you the word that God gave me, and I know God is speaking to people tonight. If your heart, the indicators of your heart are showing the sign of a heart that is not right with God, I believe tonight's the night. Make it right tonight.